The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I am in for Dr. Savage on The Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. It's tax day. Happy tax day. We don't really say happy tax day, Greg. It's not a very happy occasion. All right, sorry. Just tax day. Good tax day to you. Bad tax day to you? Yeah, I've got the good and the bad news on the taxes. Who's paying what, how much, and maybe what we should do to change it. We're going to get into all that. And you saw in the last couple of weeks some of the tyranny of the far left. The so-called tolerance of the far left just not working out, right? We saw it with the co-founder of Mozilla, the CEO, pushed out simply because he donated to Proposition 8 in California that said that he believed marriage was between one man and one woman. That was it. Never accused of doing anything discriminatory at all to any of his homosexual employees. Too bad, that's it. Push him out. He resigned. I'm sure totally voluntarily, right? And then there was Brandeis University disinviting Ayaan Hirsi Ali, the feminist who is telling the truth about the anti-woman behavior of some Muslims in Muslim countries. She can't speak. No. How dare they even invite her? But guess who is going to be speaking at Brandeis University? Bill Ayers, remember him? Remember him? Terrorist Bill Ayers? Weather Underground Bill Ayers? Oh, well, you know, that's different. Oh, yeah. And also, when you got something really kind of cool going on, where one company helps another and everybody comes out a winner, well, the government has to screw that up. Wait till you hear what they're doing now to beer brewers and farmers. It's all coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. I'm in for Dr. Savage. My name's Greg Knapp, and you can join in as well at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com. A lot of great stories up there as well. So it's tax day. So let's think about it a little bit. How are we doing? Are you happy with the taxes you're paying? Do you think your money's being well spent? Are you happy with where your money's going? You know, the Heritage Foundation put out a nice little graphic on where the money goes. 49% of our income taxes. We're just talking about income taxes right now. Income taxes and payroll taxes as well. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and other health care is taking 49% of all our spending. Wow. Then you go to income security and other benefits, 20%. That would be things like, you know, welfare, food stamps, etc. 20%. Then you go to national defense. That's 18%. So, wait a second. I on the left, they're always telling us that national defense is just destroying us. It's bankrupting us. 18%. All the different welfare programs, 20%. Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely the national defense. Then there's the interest on our debt. You know how much we're spending on that right now? 6%. Hey, take a look at your personal income and imagine that you're spending 6% of your income paying debt every year. Does that sound like a good plan to you? Then it gets down to little things. Transportation, 3%. K-12 education, 1%. Say we need to spend more on education. Isn't that supposed to be a state deal? State and local? No! And then all others, they put it at 3%. So once again, if you really want to figure out the problem with spending, you've got to go after Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And when I say go after, I don't mean get rid of it. I mean fix it. And there are all kinds of plans out there to do that, and yet any time you start to try to do it, what does the left say? They're going to throw grandma in the cold. They're going to make her eat dog food. It's going to... No, that's what's going to happen if we don't fix it. They're underfunded by trillions of dollars. They're going broke. There's no way we can do it. But if you touch it, they're trying to knock you out. There's a great piece by Sean Davis in The Federalist. He said, hey, here's a thing, few things you might want to remember on tax day. There's a few things. How about this? It's going to take you 111 days on average just to pay off your so-called burden to the government. 111 days before you are tax-free out of 365. Ouch! By the way, those federal bureaucrats whose salaries you pay with your federal income taxes, did you know a lot of them are tax cheats? Senator Tom Coburn publishing an investigative report. Over 300,000 federal employees and retirees delinquent on their income taxes. That's only $3.5 billion. Come on. $1 billion here, $2 billion here. Pretty soon we're talking real money. You probably pay more in Medicare and Social Security taxes than you do in income taxes. That's the other thing. The average American does. If you look at the payroll taxes and what you're paying, you know, it is 6.2% to Social Security. Your employer is paying another 6.2%. And, of course, that 6.2% could be your income if they didn't have to pay that. Then you throw in the 2-point-something percentage for your Medicare taxes. I mean, this adds up to a lot of money. 80% or more Americans are paying more in payroll taxes than they are in federal income taxes. And here's the thing. I'm going to get into this in just a minute. This is why we need to privatize Social Security. Really think about it for a second. If you are one of the working poor, as they call people who are, quote, living paycheck to paycheck. Well, you know, you got to be careful with that. Some people live paycheck to paycheck no matter how much they make. Because every time they get a raise, they spend more. So what I would consider the working poor are people who are working 40 hours a week and they're just living at a subsistence level and they're barely making it. Okay, that to me is the working poor. But people who are working, living paycheck to paycheck and can't seem to find any money to put aside, you realize they're already putting 12.6% or something like that of their paycheck into Social Security. Between what they put in and what their employer puts in, right? Now imagine if they were able to put that 12.6% or whatever it is straight into their own personal account from the day they started working until the day they retired. That's a significant amount of, and guess what? It wouldn't change their lifestyle at all because they're already doing it. They're just already doing it with Social Security, which they're not going to get back. So I'm going to get into that in a minute because guess what? There are a few counties in the United States of America that have been doing that, and the people who work there are retiring with a lot more money than people who have Social Security have done. But no, 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 we can't touch that. That's going to throw grandma in the cold. Yeah, and if you're young, you're not going to get back that money. Social Security right now has turned into a Ponzi scheme. The people who are retired right now are getting their money from the people who are working right now. Now, if you tried that with your personal company as the pension plan, you would be put in jail. But that's what we're doing right now. We're already right now paying out more every year than we're taking in Social Security money. But don't worry, though. We've got it all in the lockbox. Open up the lockbox, and there's an IOU. Yeah, but those IOUs are backed by the federal government. True, but since we're already borrowing 40 cents of every dollar we spend, there is no money there. So that means that we have to either tax more, borrow more, we have to find a way to get that money. So, yeah, right now, Social Security is starting to kill us. And pretty much everybody's tax rates went up in 2013. That was from Obamacare and the fiscal cliff deal. But, hey, you know, don't worry about it. It's just to make the rich pay their fair share. And the rich haven't been paying their fair share. So, you know, we're going to get into that in just a minute. Well, actually, let's get into that right now. Let me just throw that at you right now. The idea of not paying their fair share. Now, the latest numbers that I can get from the IRS on who's paying their fair share is 2010. And let me just set this up. I don't make millions of dollars. I would love to make millions of dollars one day in radio. But I don't. I'm not in the top 1%, not even close. Okay? So I don't have an axe to grind on saying you're taxing me too much as a super rich guy. But I don't understand why we think we want to punish people who become super successful. Why? I hope I am super successful one day. But let's look at the people who make a ton of money and see, are they paying their fair share? Because the left tells you they aren't. The top 1% income earners in America, these are people who are making over 354 grand a year, okay? And that goes way up there, past that. You know, people are making hundreds of millions. But everybody who's making more than $354,000 a year, they're earning almost 19% of all the income. See, that's not fair. It's 1% of the people, and they're making 19% of the income. But aren't they earning it? Well, they say they're earning it. All right, well, they're earning 19% of the income, but guess what percentage of all the income taxes they're paying? Now, to me, here's what would be fair. If you're earning 19% of the income, then I would expect you to be paying 19% of the income taxes. That seems to make sense. No. They're earning 19% of the income. They're paying 37.4% of the income taxes. Almost double. Isn't that almost double their fair share? I mean, really think about it for a second. Now, if you're somebody who thinks that the rich don't pay enough, tell me how that's not enough. Tell me how paying almost double is not your fair share. You're earning 19%. You're paying 37.4% of all the income taxes. Well, how about the top 10%? These are people who are, you know, not super rich. What about them? What about them? Top 10% are earning 45% of all the income. They're paying 71% of all the income taxes. Is that amazing? Think about that for a second. And these are people who are making $100,000 or less. They're making 45% of the income. They're paying 71% of all the income taxes. It's not enough. These awful, evil, rich people. Come on. There's a problem with that, isn't there? That we're still trying to soak it to these guys and saying they're not paying enough? Well, I got good news and bad news on all these taxes on tax day. I want you to tell me, do you think that our current tax system is fair? Are you paying too much or not enough or just right? Gallup's asking that, and it's got some very interesting answers. And I'm going to tell you about some tax day freebies you can get. But, you know, when you look at are you paying enough or are you not paying enough or is it fair, is it not fair, you got to look at everything. Your federal income taxes, your state income taxes, your payroll taxes, your sales taxes, your property taxes, your utility taxes, taxes on your cell phone, taxes on your internet, taxes on your gasoline when you fill up your car. I mean, if you really start factoring all this in, it's amazing what we're paying in taxes. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE, and I'll get you that story about the better way to do Social Security that is already being done right here in the United States of America. You're just not allowed to do it. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400.
Little Ray Charles for you on tax day. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. You can jump in, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Hey, Gallup did a poll, and it says 54% of the people polled say the income tax they pay is fair. Huh? Well, you got to remember 47% aren't paying any income tax at all. So don't say that. You can't say that. That means you don't like 47% of the people. No. It's just the truth. They're not paying federal income taxes. They're paying payroll taxes, and I want to help them with that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But no, they're not paying the income taxes. They're just not. What was it? I got the number here. 50%, the bottom 50% of Americans are earning 11.7% of the income, but only paying 2.4% of the income taxes. Oh, it's just the truth. I mean, you don't like them. It's just the truth. Let me talk to you about your taxes. Let me start with John, WBAP Country. John, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I was calling in yesterday. I got my taxes done. And the company, I work full-time, and then me and my wife had a side business. And the business last year grossed $211,000.
Good.
$11,000 of that was in state sales tax, and it only earned $39,000, which is less than 20%, but I had to write a check for $8,000 yesterday, and it makes me mad.
Ouch. So you said it grossed 200 and something, but what did you actually end up with profit out of all that?
39,000.
So 39,000 in profit, and you had to write 8%. Excuse me, 8,000, which is what? That's about 20% right there, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. That is tough stuff, John. I feel for you, man. And especially you're working so hard with that extra business. Thanks for getting in on it. You know, same thing happened to me. My wife and I finished our taxes. I owed a big chunk of change. I owed thousands of dollars. And guess what? They also charged me interest, even though, you know, it's due now. I'm paying it now. But if they had owed me money, if I had worked out my withholding so they owed me money, they wouldn't pay me interest on that. Not in 1 year, but I owe them. You know, it's the way it works. Yeah. Let me talk to Debbie, WJR. Debbie, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Hi, how you doing today?
Doing well.
Great topic and great station. I just wanted to call and tell you, you know, my husband and I own a business with another gentleman, and for the first time in history, we are getting a refund, and it's a substantial refund. Both partners are getting refunds, and they file taxes, and 2 weeks later, we hear from the government saying they're reviewing our tax, you know, our filing, and we won't get anything back until 5/20. Now, and both partners got the same letter, you know, we filed differently.
So they're saying, yeah, you guys are owed money, but it may take a while for you to get it, right? That's what they're saying? Well, you know, they're busy. They've got a lot of things to do. They've got to go after you if you're in the Tea Party. My name's Greg Knapp, and for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. We're talking taxes on tax day. And hey, don't feel too bad. You can get lots of free stuff. Yeah. If you go to the Hard Rock Cafe sometime between 5 and 7 local time and perform a complete song on stage, they'll give you a free entree. When you go to the Great American Cookie Place and you can get a freebie chocolate chip cookie limit, one per person. You can get a free massage, kind of, at Mini Massages, but you have to sign up in advance. And you can also get free shredding at Office Depot with a coupon you can download. They'll shred up to 5 pounds of your stuff for you. Schlotzky's free sandwich if you buy a 32-ounce drink and a bag of chips. And Arby's, with a coupon, they're giving you free fries today. So, you know, there's a lot. See, I mean, that's worth paying the taxes, right? Yeah, didn't think so. This is the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, or michaelsavage.com as well. I'm going to come to your phones in just a second. Hang tight. But I want to get you this story, too. It's not just your federal income tax, it's your payroll tax, right? And how often do we hear that the working poor just can't save anymore? There's no way they can save. Well, they're already saving. They're putting in the Social Security. The problem is they're not getting it back. 6.4% on their end, or 6.2% I think it is on their end, 6.2% on the employee, that's 12.4% of what could be their income going to Social Security that they're not going to get back at the level they should, if at all. Well, did you know that there are 3 counties in Texas that opted out of Social Security? They allowed them to do it 30 years ago. And they got personal retirement accounts. Galveston, Matagorda, and Brazoria counties. The county employees were allowed to do this. And they didn't go to an IRA or a 401k either. They did something called the alternate plan. Forbes points it out. It's a banking model. Now, here's what happens. The contributions are managed by a financial planner. And the contributions are pooled. It's like a bank deposit. Pool all the deposits. The top-rated financial institutions bid on the money. Then you choose who you use to manage your money. And these institutions guarantee you an interest rate. This, a lot of people do this with certain types of insurance contracts, too, and other kind of funds that you can do, where you're guaranteed, even if the market goes down, you'll still make a 2% increase. Wouldn't you like that? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Now, the way they can do that, when the market goes up, they'll limit the upside. They'll say it can only go up to this high no matter what the markets do. And here's what they've been doing over the last 30 years. They've averaged between 3.75% and 5.75% annual returns. The average overall is about 5%. So even during the recession, they went up, not down. Pretty cool, right? All right, well, what happens when they retire? And by the way, does this include things like death benefit, survivor's benefits, insurance? Yep, all that. everything Social Security does, it has. But think about this. If you were making about $26,000 at retirement, you're on the low end, Social Security would give you about a grand a month. This plan, $18,26, almost double. Whoa, that's not bad. All right. Well, what about a middle-income person? You're earning about $51,000 a year. Social Security, you get about $1,500. This plan, $3,600, more than double. High end, say you're a high-end worker, maxed out your Social Security contribution every year, about $2,500 from Social Security. With this plan, between $5,000 and $6,000 a month. Now, why aren't we doing this and privatizing the plans for every American who wants to? Why aren't we doing it? You know why? Because it takes away your dependence on government. And it takes away the reason that some people are able to buy your votes. We should be doing that right now. But anytime we even talk about doing something like that, they want to destroy Social Security. No, Social Security is destroying itself. I want to fix it. Love your thoughts on all this. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's talk with Bob, WMAL. Bob, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that the employer actually pays double what the employee pays in Social Security. So it's more like over 18% that goes in Social Security for paycheck.
No, that's not true. It's 6.2 on one side and 6.2 on the other side. Each one pays half. That's how it's done.
Well, that's, back when I did the books years ago, that's how it was. So.
Well, that's not how it is now, I guarantee you, because I've looked it up many, many times, and I've actually helped pay Social Security payroll taxes for people. But I appreciate it. Let's go to let me talk with Brian, WMAL. Brian, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Oh, Greg, I just had a friend who filed for taxes today, single guy, easy income. You think he would have no problems? Well, he gets an email back from the IRS saying that the IRS is now out of funds. Will only process 0.8% of income taxes less than $200,000.
Whoa. So what are they? They're telling him he's not going to get a tax refund?
Yeah, right now he doesn't know what the heck's going to happen.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I wonder if it's that they're waiting for some more of the tax revenue to flow in. I mean, because, wow, that's very interesting. I'm going to have to look that up. And if anybody out there has found any kind of a link explaining this, you know, let us know. And we're going to be looking it up right now and Googling that and trying to find out. I have not seen that today. That would be really kind of crazy. They're saying that they can't pay out the income tax refunds that people are due. What about the earned income tax refund? What about just, all right. Let me get Shadow in on WMAL. Shadow, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to make your caller, all your listeners aware, if you really grasp this concept, we have been conditioned, human beings have been conditioned to follow authority since day one. You pay your taxes. You're an American if you don't. You watch the 9/11 exploding buildings and you've been fearmonger. And it's so inundating that no one questions authority anymore. No one stands up and does what's right. I mean, it's the hardest paradigm to get out of, but you've been conditioned to think all of this stuff and believe all this stuff.
And believe what stuff? Wait a second. Hold on, Shadow. We do need some way to pay for what the federal government does. Now, I would say it's doing way too much. I would like the federal government to get back to doing what's enumerated in the Constitution of what they're supposed to do. But there is a need to actually pay for that. Now, should it be income taxes? I would like to see it done a different way. I think the national sales tax is a great idea. But you're not trying to say that somehow the federal government should do what it's required to do by the Constitution, but somehow, what? How are they going to get the money?
The federal government is being run like a business, and it's a
problem. Well, it's not being run like a business. If it was, it would be fixed.
But
if it was run like a business, it'd be out of business.
But if it's like a nonprofit, you don't spend more than you have.
Right. So they're not right. Okay, I got you, Shadow. Thanks for the call. I don't think that's really helping us today, though. Let me get Jim in, WBOB. Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. You mentioned what I wanted to talk about very briefly. My point is there is only one income tax rate that matters, or one tax rate that matters, and that's the total tax rate. It doesn't matter if I'm paying only 5% to the federal government, if I'm paying 60% elsewhere. But if you're right, if you add up taxes that you pay to all sources, you are north of 70% on what you totally pay in taxes, and that could be through, a lot of it's through embedded taxes. The price of everything that you buy includes taxes that do not appear as a sales tax. They're embedded in the price.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. It's almost impossible to really know what you're paying in all taxes added up, because you're adding on ones that I didn't even talk about in the taxes that the corporations are paying on things before it even gets to you. And you're right. I mean, we are taxed to death. I mean, the Beatles wrote Tax Man a long time ago, but it's still just as relevant today when you add up everything. Sales tax, property taxes, real property taxes. Depending on where you live, some states tax you on your car every year. There are cell phone taxes, internet taxes, utility taxes, landline taxes, state income taxes, federal income taxes, payroll taxes. I mean, you just keep going on, gasoline taxes, on and on and on and on. It's almost impossible to know how much you're really paying. It's crazy, but that's what they're doing. All right, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. I also want to throw this one at you. You want to talk about fixing something that isn't broken? Did you know that literally for centuries in this country, there's been this symbiotic relationship between beer makers and farmers? Huh? Oh, a farmer wants a beer at the end of the day? No. Well, maybe. But that's not what I'm talking about. Brewers have either given or sold, or some combination of the two, their spent grain, their leftover grain that they used in the brewing process, to the local ranchers and dairy farmers. Why? To feed their cows. And it's a great symbiotic relationship, because instead of the brewers having to pay somebody to haul that stuff away and throw it away for them, the cattle ranchers and the dairy ranchers come in, and they're like, hey, we'll take that. And so they scoop it all up, and they take it, and they feed it to their cows. The cows love it. It's happy hour for the cows, one guy said. And they produce more milk, and they on the other farms, they grow bigger so you can have good steaks and all this kind of stuff. Great deal, right? Well, that means we got to get the government involved. So now the FDA's Food Safety Modernization Act has come forward and said, all right, hang on a second. We got to make sure that all this food that goes to pets and animals, we got to make sure it's safe, and we got to make sure it doesn't do anything wrong for humans. So here's what you guys are going to have to do. You're going to have to dry and package this grain without it coming into contact with humans before you can get it to those cattle. What? We've been doing this for literally centuries. It doesn't matter. There is no record of this type of spent grain from breweries causing any problems in cows or humans. Well, but it could. It might. Someday. Maybe. I mean, the grains that the brewers are using are already certified for human consumption, or they wouldn't be able to make the beer with it. Well, yeah, but now it's spent grain, and that changes everything. How? So now these brewers are saying, look, if you go through with these rules, guys, hey, FDA, if you go through with this, it's going to cost us too much to get the equipment we need and the labor it would take to dry our spent grain and package it up. It will cost us too much. You know what we'll have to do? We'll have to stop giving it to the farmers, and we'll have to just throw it away, which is also going to cost us money. So you're screwing up the whole thing. So what? Well, thankfully, some congresspeople are getting on the FDA, and now they're saying they're taking a look. They're going to take a look at whether or not this is the smart way to go. Oh, they're going to take a look. Oh, that's nice. Stop it! Get out of our lives. Leave us alone. Why is that so hard to understand? Why is it so hard to get back to the basics of what this country was founded upon? I mean, when you read these things that are going on here, this is the kind of stuff that started the original Tea Party. This is the kind of stuff that started the original revolution, where we said, just leave us alone. Let us pursue life, liberty, and happiness. You know, do the bare minimum you need to do to keep us moving forward as a country, the enumerated powers, and then get out. Take your thoughts on it. And I got to get you an update on Brandeis University and who they like as a speaker and who they don't like as a speaker. It's just what you thought. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855.
My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. We're talking about taxes on tax day. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And we're paying a ton of taxes. And are we getting what we should for it? And is the country being run the right way with it? And are people paying their fair share? When the top 1% is earning 18.9% of the income, basically 19%, and paying 37.4% of the income taxes, aren't they paying more than their fair share? Bottom 50% earning about 12% of the income, paying about 2.5% of all the income taxes, is that their fair share? Is there a better way to do all this? Love your thoughts on it. Let me start with John, WMAL, says he loves taxes. John, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
I do, because it makes my bigger point that per capita, there is no country ever in the history of civilization has more middle-class millionaires and billionaires than the United States. Nobody. This is the richest country in the history of history. And the reason is because of how much money we have and how much money we're able to produce through creation.
I totally agree. The problem is what we're doing with our taxes and our regulations is we're making that harder and harder. There's a story where Walgreens is thinking about even leaving the United States because of the tax burden. I mean, John, what we're doing is we're taxing people into giving up creating wealth like we used to do. The more we punish people for success, the less we're going to get. These huge taxes are not what made this country great. What made this country great was that we didn't have huge tax burdens and we didn't have huge regulation burdens, and that's how we had the explosion of the biggest economy in the history of the planet and more people raising up out of poverty than ever before. Now we're going the other way.
To a certain degree we are, but you mentioned Walgreens. But for every Walgreens, there's 10 that are staying. They're willing to take the trade off. Walgreens is a dinosaur. So it's not one of those companies that can survive it. But
John, I appreciate the call, but let me just tell you a couple things about the taxes on corporations. We've got Apple, Microsoft, GE, many other huge companies who are keeping trillions of dollars out of this country that they have earned overseas. You know why? Because they've already paid taxes on their profits overseas, and now when they want to bring it back here to invest it here and build this economy, we want to tax them again. Why would we do that? They've already paid taxes on that money. Bring it back, invest it here. But that's how screwed up this tax policy is, and somehow we're blaming those companies for it. My name's Greg Knapp. This is a Savage Nation. I'm in for the doctor.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And so Ukraine now is fighting back. Ukraine said a military operation to quash a pro-Russian insurgency started early this morning. And their acting president is calling what the Russians are doing in his country terrorist activity. So he says what we're doing is anti-terrorism. Russian foreign ministry officials are blaming the UN human rights reports that say the Russians in eastern Ukraine have been falsely claiming to be under assault to justify Russian intervention. Pro-Russian forces over the last 10 days have been trying to take over places, and they've been successful in some areas, and now Ukraine is pushing back. Then you get Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev, who, of course, used to be president for a while, declaring Ukraine on the brink of civil war. Blood has once again been spilt in Ukraine. The country is on the brink of civil war. That was on his Facebook page. Now we're getting all of our very big news now from Facebook and Twitter. There's something weird about that to me. I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just old school. Facebook and Twitter now is where this is all coming. So the question to me, for you, is how is Obama handling this? How's the agitator-in-chief? I'm sorry, communicator-in-chief? No, community organizer. That was it. Yeah, yeah, that's what his experience was to be commander-in-chief. How's the community organizer, agitator-in-chief handling all this? Well, let's turn to the press. Major Garrett was asking White House spokesperson Jay Carney about all of this. Let's hear cut two in Major Garrett's question to Jay.
Russia continues to destabilize the situation, act in a provocative way, now buzzing a U.S. warship. Isn't there a sense of the administration and in the European capitals with which you are collaboratively dealing with that what is going on is not working? That whatever signals you're sending, they're either not being heeded or misread, and this entire approach, which is to not escalate, isn't working, and everything the Russians are doing is continuing to escalate the situation, overriding what they may see, and some editorial critics have regarded as passivity by the West.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. Seems like a pretty good question. We're getting buzzed. They're moving in. They got troops on the eastern Ukraine. Is there a chance that maybe what Obama's doing isn't working? Well, Jay Carney, cut three, says, oh, no, of course it's working great.
Well, no, Major, because the premise of the question is based on the notion that all the United States ever has to do when something happens in the world that we don't like is say, stop it, and they'll stop. We are taking concerted action with our allies and partners that is imposing costs on Russia for what Russia has done,
making
clear
really?
That much more significant costs will be imposed on Russia should they continue down this path.
Yeah. See, I mean, you know, you act like we can just snap our fingers. No, nobody said that. The problem is that it seems like whatever President Obama has been doing hasn't done anything. In fact, it has made it worse. Well, hey, at one point, we were sanctioning seven people in Russia. Why? You know what? We're going to do 11 this time. We're going to get tough. We're going to smack them down. Come on. Does anybody think what President Obama is doing is working with Russia? You got to be smoking coke. I don't think you can smoke coke, Greg. I think you have to smoke crack. I think there's a way. I think there's a way. I think people have figured it out. Maybe just smoking pot. The Chum Gang rides again. No, why do you have to do... Just because the man admitted to being a marijuana-smoking Chum member doesn't mean he's still doing it. He stopped that. He's even stopped cigarettes now. All right, so what do you think? Do you think that we are doing the right thing? Do you think it's something we should even be involved in? And do you think President Obama knows what he's doing? 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me get Radu in, WMAL. Was born in Eastern Europe. This should be good. Radu, you're on Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappen for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Well, yes, I was born in Eastern Europe. I was born in Romania, right next to Russia. I came here about 37 years ago. And, of course, you can never trust the Russians. You couldn't trust them then. You cannot trust them now. Putin is laughing at us. The U.S. used to be a power that the world was both feared and we were respected and feared in the world. Right now, we looked upon as a joke because our president draws lines in crayon, and then when people go over them, he draws another line in crayons. Sanctions have not worked. They have not worked in Iran for 30 years. They have not worked in North Korea for 30 years. They have not worked in Syria. They don't work. We just do sanctions. And like
So Radu, hold on a second. Let me jump in here with you. Now that you've been here 37 years, are you an American citizen?
I've been an American citizen for 30 years. And
great. Okay. The reason I'm asking you is because I wanted to get that perspective. Somebody who's come here, has become an American citizen. God bless you for doing it. Now, as an American citizen, when you look at what's going on here, when you say sanctions don't work, I agree with you. But what should we do and why should America be involved in what's going on in Ukraine?
Well, first of all, I don't think we should be involved. I think we should have kept our big mouth shut, but like always, he needs to stick his nose where it doesn't belong. No, there's nothing we can do. I don't think we should send military. It's not our fight. The problem is that when they signed that bill in Hungary in 1994, the truth that Ukraine would give away their nuclear weapons, the U.S., Britain, and Russia signed that deal saying that if somebody's going to attack Ukraine or invade Ukraine, the U.S., England, and Russia would help. Well, if Russia jumps in, technically the U.S. and England should help.
Radu, that is an excellent point. I mean, you're nailing it. I mean, you are just nailing it, and I appreciate a great, great call, and you're right. I mean, listen, if we're going to get in, then we should do it the right way. If we're not going to get in, we should stay out of it. We're doing it kind of halfway each way. And you're right that we told these guys, hey, don't worry, you got the backing of the United States. I mean, who's going to mess with you? And Russia's agreed, and they've signed these. That's why President Obama comes and goes, wait a second. You guys said you wouldn't do this. How could you not do what you said you were going to do? And Russia, you're on the wrong side of history. And I'm sure just any moment now, Vladimir Putin's going to say, oh, no, I'm on wrong side history. Oh, Vladimir Putin want to go down right side of history. I will do what Obama say now, because I want to be the right side of history. This is what the guy thinks. Are you kidding? Do you think he cares what side of history he goes down on, according to President Barack Obama? He wants what he wants. And you're right. I mean, what we talked these guys into basically giving up their self-defense, and now we're like, hey, you're on your own. But don't worry, we're going to say we're on your side, and we're going to do some sanctions, and we're drawing red lines. We're drawing the red lines. Yeah, that doesn't help too much. Well, Dr. Brzezinski was on Morning Joe today. We're going to let you hear what he's saying about this. You know that you've got a weak policy if even a former Jimmy Carter dude is coming out. The United States National Security Advisor to Jimmy Carter is saying you're weak. We're going to get you that in just a second. Love your thoughts on it, too. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400.
Hey, my name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. We're talking about what's going on with Russia, Ukraine, United States, Europe, President Obama, Vladimir Putin. Should we be involved in this at all, as the Russian troops have been moving into eastern Ukraine, and the current acting president of Ukraine says we're fighting back? And if so, to what degree? Should we have gotten involved earlier when we were telling them to disarm, as we did? Said Russia jumped in, said, yeah, we agree with this. We'll stay out of it. We'll let them be their own country. But, of course, now they're not. Drawing more red lines. Is Obama doing a good job on this? What do you think his plans are? Does he even know what he's doing? Or is this all part of him just trying to make us less powerful in the world? Well, let me get you this one. Dr. Zbigniew Brzezinski was on Morning Joe, former National Security Advisor to President Jimmy Carter, and he was saying what Obama's doing isn't working. Let's hear cut eight, please.
I think we have to convince Putin that what he is doing is really risky to Russia itself. I think we've taken some steps in that direction, but I think they could be intensified. And I think talking, not doing much, but at least talking to the Ukrainians about if the need arises, providing them with some defensive weaponry would make sense. It would send a signal.
So he's saying, hey, you know, we don't have to send troops. Just give them some defensive weaponry. Let them defend themselves. And he said, you know, we've kind of talked about that with them. Cut nine, please.
The Ukrainians did ask us for help in that regard. Mm-hmm. Do you know what our answer has been? We offered them prepackaged food for their soldiers. Well, you can't win a military conflict by throwing pancakes at somebody.
Well, it depends on who made the pancakes. I mean, are there those Michelle Obama whole grain pancakes at school that nobody will eat? You know, the ones that they keep throwing away in the trash? Those get pretty hard. I mean, those things can get rock solid. That might hurt a little bit. Oh, boy. Let me get Nick in, WMAL. Nick, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappin for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. How are you? Listen, I am Polish by birth and Ukrainian by ethnic, originally ethnic Ukrainian. I'm also a retired Army officer of 26 years in service. And I'm appalled over the fact that we guaranteed Ukraine sovereignty in 1994 agreement or treaty that we signed with Ukraine, UK, and Russia. And yet nobody's calling President Obama on that particular issue. The sanctions do nothing, as your earlier caller has said.
No, I'm with you, Nick, and you're right that here's the problem. We shouldn't be making treaties with countries and agreeing to defend them and trying to talk them out of defending themselves if we're not serious about it. and we're getting too many entanglements. And if we're not serious about saying we're going to go to war for you, then why should we imply that or even outright say that? So, Nick, I understand your point, but once again, as I asked the last caller, so do you think it's time for America to even risk one life in this?
Well, I mean, the question of risking a life is you have to start somewhere. We risked a life in Afghanistan and Iraq and Vietnam. We have nothing in there. And yet we had no treaties with anybody. Yet we have treaties. Now, look, what's going to happen with NATO? We have treaties with NATO.
I know. I think we're getting too entangled in that, too. I think we are way overstretched on what we have said about if you're attacked, we're going to go in there for you. I mean, how many countries should we say that to? How far stretched should we be? I mean, that's the question. And I think we're already stretched too far. Thanks for the call, Nick. Listen, I agree that we have not handled this well at all. And I agree that Russia's violated what they said they would do. And Obama's right that they violated international law. Well, so what? That and 50 cents will get you a cup of coffee. It's not going to change anything. And should it? Should we be involved any more than we are? I think it's a very good question. One last thing on Jay Carney on this, and then we'll get into why President Obama isn't
join
meeting
the
with the victims.
Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE or michaelsavage.com. We've been talking about the Russia-Ukraine situation. Did you see what happened with Jay Carney? Jay Carney, the White House spokesperson, has had his profile in Washingtonian magazine. Oh, yes.
Jay Carney gets to go to the hoity-toity press and media parties, the cocktail parties, rubbing elbows with the wine and cheese crowd.
Washingtonian magazine, right? So here's what he got for that. Really important details, according to The Week. Things like, the Carney dog is a cousin to the presidential pooch, Sonny. And how much Jay Carney's ties cost? About $135 a piece. See, now, right there, to me, that should disqualify you to work for the federal government. If you're paying $135 for a tie, then you're going to spend too much money. I don't want you anywhere near the federal government. $135 for a tie? Come on! Sorry, back to the story. So, there was a photo, a staged photo, supposedly of Jay Carney's kitchen, and it showed his wife and two children making breakfast. And in the kitchen, you can see some of their decorations. Guess what they are? Soviet propaganda posters. I can't make this stuff up. Oh, come on, Greg. I'm sure he's just a collector of propaganda posters. Soviet propaganda posters in the kitchen of the White House spokesman under President Obama. Was this McCarthyism? Are you trying to say he's a communist? I'm trying to say it's weird. Do you have Soviet propaganda posters in your kitchen? I might understand it if you're a collector of historical art and you have them in your basement, along with other World War II memorabilia. I might get that. He has them in his kitchen. Keen observers may notice the kitchen decor in the photo. Soviet propaganda posters. They really are the perfect pop of color, whether you're the dour and sincere Khrushchev or the cheeky press wrangler for a president who is constantly accused of being a socialist himself. That's Michael Brendan for The Week. You can't make this stuff up, man. I mean, you really can't make it up. Let me get Jim in, WABC. Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp for the doctor.
Biggest user of spending is the United States military. We spend more on our military than all the rest of the world. Every country in the world combined spends on their military. Now, this only makes sense if we're going to invade the rest of the world and conquer it, or if we think that the rest of the world is going to invade us. Otherwise, why are we spending more on the military than all of the rest of the world combined?
I'm going to have to look up if that's true, Jim. I know we spend more than any other country, and thanks for the call. I don't know that we spend more than every other country behind. I'm going to have to do a little research on that. But thanks for the call. I know that 18% of what we spend as a country right now we spend on the military. I believe in peace through strength. Now, I believe we could probably, not keep expanding our military, But, yeah, I think we need to be strong. One of the problems is we're protecting so many of our allies, where we don't allow Japan to defend itself as much as it should, where Europe has decided not to defend itself as much as it should. And we're the ones who have to pick up the slack. I don't think we should. Now, I still want us to be the number one superpower of the world. I'm not like President Obama who thinks that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. And one of the ways you avoid a war is being so strong that the rest of the world, if they even dream of taking you on, they would wake up and apologize. That's how you stay out of the war, right? I don't want us to go to war, but that's how you stay out of it. Are we spending too much money on it, do you think? Well, beyond that, should we be in Ukraine at all? Well, let me get a couple more here. Let me go to Patrick, WBAP. Patrick, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappin for the Doctor. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's issues like this that make the rest of the world hate us and make me slightly ashamed to be American. I mean, it happens all the time. We do different nations this way. We should be there fighting with those people. We should. I don't think fighting Russia is a smart thing in any way. But you cannot let them push us around like this, especially at the expense of creating another terrorist state. And I mean, they're going to hate us. So who's to say that those people don't go, you know, far left on us and, you know, start attacking Americans as well? We continue to do this. I mean, the Iran.
Why should Why should they hate us?
Well, because we said that we would have their back. Nobody would hurt. They gave up their nuclear weapons. We said we would have their back, and we didn't. And they knew they couldn't trust Russia. They knew that. Come on, that's the person that's trying to take them over.
It's a good point. It's a good point. But let me ask you this. Here's the thing, Patrick. That is a good point. And we've mentioned it several times on the program today. However, because we made a stupid deal, you don't throw other people's lives at risk because you made a bad deal. And I don't think there are very many mothers and fathers who think that they should risk their children's lives, because we made this deal and now we're stuck in it. I think we fought enough wars. There's no way, Patrick, that one American should lay down their lives for what's going on in Ukraine. I totally disagree. I think we made a stupid deal to begin with. We got to quit getting into all these deals where we are saying we've got your back if we don't. If we don't, then don't say it. I understand your point. But no, I can't imagine there's any stomach for that for the vast majority of people in this country and the vast majority of the people in the military. I just can't see it. Now, could we help them by giving them weapons, by giving them training, by allowing them to defend themselves? That you can talk me into. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE and you're in. I also wanted to get you this. Speaking of President Obama. President Obama, according to Mother Jones, now think about this. Think about the source of this. Mother Jones magazine is a far-left publication. This is not some conservative website. This is a far-left publication, Mother Jones. And they had a piece here on President Obama rejecting a meeting between the survivors of the 2009 Fort Hood terrorist attack that he's called workplace violence. You remember this. This is Major Nidal Hassan. This is the guy who was radicalized by his communications with a radical imam overseas. They were doing this online. It's a guy who had his own personal jihad against his own military base, military post, Fort Hood. It's a guy who shouted Allahu Akbar while he did it. It's a guy who hated our military and hated our country because of what we were doing in Iraq and Afghanistan. And yet, we still, to this day, are calling what he did, killing 13 people and wounding 32 others, workplace violence. Okay? Now, the surviving victims and their families are saying, hey, wait a second, because you haven't called this terrorism, we're not getting the kind of medical care and financial benefits that we would if you called it terrorism like it was. Nidal Hassan is an avowed jihadist with ties to Al-Qaeda. Yet we keep calling it workplace violence. So the victims aren't eligible for benefits and honors available to soldiers wounded or killed in action. That's straight out of Mother Jones. So back in 2012, about 150 Fort Hood victims and their family members filed suit against the Department of Defense. They're seeking compensation for their suffering and lost benefits. But nothing's happened with the case. The Senate has balked at passing legislation. Democratic-controlled Senate. What they want is the same kind of benefits they would get if they had been killed or wounded in combat or terrorism attacks, since it was a terrorism attack. One of the survivors said they want to meet with President Obama because they want him to intervene. They said right now, he only knows our story secondhand. We wanted to meet with him face to face so he could look us in our eyes and see our pain. That's the only way he's really going to understand our situation. And yet, he won't meet with them. The survivors have been begging to reclassify this and to meet with them, and they won't do it. President Obama said no. As Al Punda put it on hotair.com, he says, imagine having taken a bullet to the head from Hassan's gun and being told the president doesn't have time to meet with you, but he does have time for a fundraiser at a rich liberal's house nearby. That's what's going on right now. You got to read the Mother Jones piece. I mean, that's a far-left publication saying this. Remember when President Bush was just vilified by the media for not meeting with Cindy Sheehan after her son was killed in combat in the Iraq War? And, of course, President Bush had already met with her. And she'd already sung his praises. Then she flipped and became a far-left radical. And then all of a sudden, she wanted to meet with Bush again and again and again. And then all of a sudden, he was this bad, evil guy for not meeting with her, although he'd already met with her. Well, here's Obama who won't meet with the victims of Fort Hood. Where's the media coverage on this? Right, that's what I thought. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's get Josh in on WABC on the Ukraine situation. Josh, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappen for the doctor. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Greg? Listen, no, I agree with you. We should not get involved in the Ukraine. Poland is right next to the Ukraine. Do they want to get involved? Do they want to send troops? They have a lot more at stake than we do, but they're not. I spoke to a Polish guy, a guy who came from Poland, okay, and he's working in the United States. And I asked him, what's Poland doing? Well, Poland doesn't want to get involved because Poland gets its gas from Russia. We can't do that. And so they expect the United States to do it? No. Germany has lots and lots of money. And
hold on a second, though. Yeah. What do you say to the people that say, well, wait a second, we said we were going to have their back?
Stop there. No, wrong. Okay, we did not make a treaty. That was a paper of understanding, which in international law does not have the same status as a treaty. Okay, so everybody talks about a treaty. Wrong. Not a treaty. Okay, and you know what? Hey, what? Guess what? You're right. That was a mistake. So you're right. If we did make a mistake, why make further mistakes by really flushing money and material down the toilet? Because,
well, not just money and material. Let's talk about human lives and American human lives and what we should be doing. And thanks for the call. And I think you made some good points. I mean, we've got Europe that's closer. We've got, you got Belarus there. You got Moldova. You got Poland. You got Romania. I mean, you got all these Eastern European nations. And then, of course, you got all of Europe. And it's hard to even get them to put sanctions on Russia, yet somehow we're supposed to do everything? No, I think that's what Americans are getting tired of, that it's always up to the United States of America to be the world's police. And we shouldn't, and we can't. But there are things we can do beyond sanctioning 7-11 Russians. What is it we're up to now? And what President Obama is doing with phone diplomacy and acting like he's drawing red lines? Yeah, I'm not buying any of that. How about you? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. A new study says you're over the hill at 24? We'll hit that in just a minute. My name is Greg Knappen for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Hey, my name is Greg Knappen. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. I was looking things up here. Yeah, the one caller said, we spend more on our military than all other nations combined. I said, I don't think so. So according to NBC News, we spend more than the next 10 highest defense budgets combined. So we spend more than the next 10 nations combined. China, Russia, UK, Japan, France, Saudi Arabia, India, Germany, Italy, and Brazil. But not more than everybody. Oh, it's still a ton. It's still a ton, no doubt about it. And did we have a treaty with Ukraine saying we'd step in? Well, we have the Budapest Memorandum. And it says, Article 1, the United States of America, the Russian Federation, and the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland reaffirm their commitment to Ukraine to respect the independence and sovereignty and the existing borders of Ukraine. So we're reaffirming a commitment, but it's not a treaty saying we're legally required to go to war over it. Is it shaving things? Is it cutting things too close to say that? Well, no, it's the truth. Of course, we did pressure Ukraine to give up its nukes, saying we've got your back. Should we have done that if we're not willing to really have their back? Hey, you're over the hill now at 24. What? Canada's Simon Fraser University did the study. Said somewhere around age 24, you start to suffer a decline in your cognitive motor performance. What's that? That means you're slowing down cognitively. But listen to how they studied this. They took a look at 3,300 people aged 16 to 44 who played something called StarCraft II. It's a video game. Supposedly, it's a ruthless, competitive, intergalactic computer war game that players often undertake to win serious money. Never heard of it. I don't play video games. I'm not 12. I mean, come on. What a waste of time. But evidently, it's a big thing. But the researchers found after around 24 years of age, players show slowing in a measure of cognitive speed that is known to be important for performance. The cognitive performance decline is present even at higher levels of skill. Man, over the age of 24, I'm done? Is that what you're trying to tell me? That doesn't make me happy. No, okay, hold on. Calm down. The other good part of this research says as you get older, you play smarter, and you can still win. So that's the good news. You can make up for the cognitive decline in speed by playing smarter. Just make sure you keep getting smarter. That's pretty much the only way you're going to beat the young guys. All right? Play smarter. Let me get you Ross from WMAL. Ross chiming in on the Ukraine situation on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. In for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, I want to bring out some truth to the situation. My family household is half Russian and Ukrainian. You're not being told the whole story. You're not talking about the nationalist socialists that are there. You're not talking about the funding groups that are feeding these people or the imports of the young men being paid to come and to be a part of this effort. You're not talking about the radicals in the streets that are imported from outside of the Ukraine. You're not talking about the Ukrainians that are standing up and defending their own town halls to keep the nationalist socialists out of their cities.
Well, we actually did talk about quite a bit of that already on the program earlier in the hour, but I appreciate you getting in that. Yeah, and a lot of this we don't know. We don't know how many of the people really are Russian of ethnicity and how many are coming in from Russia to do this. We know the Ukrainians are pushing back now. Should we at least send them some defensive weapons to help them out? I think they're good questions. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the Savage Nation for the doctor.
Join the Savage Nation. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on The Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And I want to get into this Nevada Ranch thing, and I'll tell you why. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about this guy. We're going to try and get the information out there correctly and let you know that the Bundy family really doesn't have a legal leg to stand on here. But I think Powerline nails it when they say you should still be sympathetic to his family. And I also think we got to be careful on how you protest the federal government. And I don't think there needs to be violence here. And I don't think you need to get in the face of federal agents to handle this situation. But we need to get in the face of our politicians to tell them enough is enough and it's time to turn it around. We're going to get to all of that. Meanwhile, I want to talk about the government overreaching. The United States Postal Service now joining in big federal ammunition purchases. Why? Why? I don't understand. Joe Biden speaks out on why it's great to be the vice president. You won't believe what he said. Oscar Pistorius says he didn't consciously pull the trigger to kill his girlfriend. What does that mean? And before the hour's out, Thinking about death could make your life better? It's all coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. All right, a couple things that I really like that I've been reading on this Bundy Family Ranch standoff in Nevada. And I'm sure you're a little bit familiar with the story. This is the last rancher standing in this part of Nevada. Now, when you're ranching in the desert, you need a lot of land to take care of your cattle. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it's something like a couple hundred acres per cattle. I mean, it's the desert. I remember my wife and I took a trip through the Southwest years ago. We were in between jobs. We didn't have kids yet. We said, all right, let's pack it all up into a little car with a tent and just travel the Southwest for a month. And when we got into the West Texas desert area, we saw these cattle on the side of the road, and they were all just huddled around the little water trough that was being filled by the windmill. And, I mean, there was nothing for them to eat. And I was like, man, I would hate to be a cattle in the desert. It takes a lot of land in the desert to raise cattle. Well, these ranchers, their families generations earlier had been welcomed with open arms into the West with a guarantee from the federal government, hey, we'll let you graze your cattle on the federal lands. There was nothing said about charging them for it. There was nothing said about the desert tortoise coming into an endangered species category. No, but that's what's been happening, and they've been pushing these ranchers off the land to the point that the Bundy family is the last family standing. That's one of the reasons I have sympathy for them. Legally, he doesn't have a leg to stand on. It was federal property before Nevada was even a state. We got it from Mexico. Always been federal property. Yes, the federal government can then have the right to tell you got to pay grazing fees. But then when the Bureau of Land Management starts taking over and telling you that you've got to shrink the number of cattle that can come on, that the desert tortoise has priority over you and your family's livelihood, and they are slowly pushing out all the ranches so there's only one left, I can understand why people start to get a little ticked. Can't you? And I think Andrew Malcolm nails it on Investor Business Daily when he says, the larger issue, very intense for the West, is this distrust and suspicion of our federal government, Congress, our bureaucracies, our aloof president, overreaching government in the lives of every American. Things like, we've got to close down coal mines for their own good. We've got to rewrite restaurant menus. We've got to tell you what calories you're eating. We've got to seize private property. We've got to regulate cow toots. And it starts to wear on people. Did you know the Bureau of Land Management is charged with managing about 300 million federal acres, most of them across the West? That's equivalent to the size of Texas and Montana that the federal government owns. Why? Why do they own that much? 84% of Nevada owned by the federal government. Why? Why should they own that much? That means that the vast majority of Nevada is governed by the federal government, not by the state of Nevada. Why? And as Malcolm puts it, anybody ever rented from a landlord that's located clear across the continent gives you conflicting priorities, miscommunication, misinterpretation, misunderstanding, missteps. And that's what's happening here. So for the sake of an endangered desert tortoise, the Bundy family ranch became an endangered species. And so he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put up with it. And he's lost in court. And he doesn't have a leg to stand on. But he deserves your sympathy anyway. And a lot of people have gotten into this thing with, well, Greg, don't forget to talk about Harry Reid and the Chinese and the solar power energy system and that Harry Reid's going to make a lot of money if they can kick these guys off. Well, it's kind of true and it's kind of not true. Okay? First of all, yes, one of Harry Reid's big-time aides, 35 years old, has now become, Neil Korns, the head of the Bureau of Land Management. Oh, yeah, there's a connection. Harry Reid's son, Rory, and he were involved with this Chinese-owned ENN Energy Group. They wanted to put out a multi-billion-dollar solar farm in Nevada. But north of Vegas, quite a ways away from this guy's ranch and from the federal grazing lands. However, guess what? There are desert tortoises there too. And the federal government was ready to okay that deal to put a $5 billion solar panel, Chinese-owned energy farm in the middle of the desert. No problem. They were getting ready to move the desert tortoise. And guess where they were talking about putting some of the desert tortoises? Yes, you get a gold star, the Bundy Ranch. Well, it's not the Bundy Ranch, sorry. The federal grazing land that the Bundy family is using. So it's not that the Bureau of Land Management thinks that the desert tortoise is superior to all development and all land use, only the ones they like. See, they have their agenda. If it's for so-called green energy, then anything goes. Hey, your wind farms are killing endangered bird species and bats? No problem, it's a wind farm. Hey, you had an oil spill and you hurt a bird? We're shutting you down and fining you hundreds of thousands of dollars. See? See how it works? Oh, you want to farm this land? No. No, no, no. There's a snail darter. Oh, you want to put up a $5 billion solar panel energy farm? Sure, no problem. We'll move all these animals off your land, or our land, and then we'll give you subsidies to do it. That's what ticks people off. That's what makes you say, you know what? Enough is enough. That's why you're getting the backlash. Because Americans are tired of it, and they're seeing this happen. I mean, you've seen, supposedly, your private land is your private land. Go beyond the grazing of the federal land. Go to your own farm. I know farmers right here where I live that are told they can't even clean up an area of their property that is a little swampy because it's been declared a wetland. There are guys that have been in trouble for catching rainwater on their own property. I'm not making this stuff up. That's what gets people upset. Well, Harry Reid has spoken out. Let me hear cut seven here. Harry Reid on the fact that the Bureau of Land Management backed down and said, all right, we don't want to get into any kind of crazy, crazy violence here, so we're backing away. Harry Reid says, well, you know, for now.
Well, it's not over. You know, we can't have an American people that violate the law and just walk away from it. So it's not over.
We can't have an American people that violate the wall, war, the law and we just walk away from it. No, but we can have illegal aliens who violate the law and we walk away, right? Right? Well, that's okay. Because that's different. You know, sure, we're just going to walk away from that because don't you understand that they're just trying to survive, but we can't walk away from a rancher trying to survive. No. Then we get Ron Paul, cut six, and he's talking about how sometimes we do a little too much with our federal power.
Governments don't give up their power easily, and they may well come back with a lot more force like they did at Waco with the Davidians. So I don't know which way it's going.
Mm-hmm. And that is where I think the federal government overreacted as well. The federal government is right on the law here, that they have the right to tell this guy he has to pay grazing fees, and if he doesn't, we're going to remove your cattle. They have won in court. It is federal land. It was federal land before it even became the state of Nevada. Okay, fine. But the way they go about doing this with a couple hundred armed agents, with overkill, with intimidation, with setting up so-called free speech zones for protests, acting like they can corral people into certain areas where they can protest, shutting down an area in Nevada about half the size of New Hampshire. I mean, it's just overkill, and that's the other reason people are saying enough. Well, Tucker Carlson was on Fox News talking about this, and says, you know, conservatives need to think twice about supporting this family. Listen.
The Bundys don't have a legal case that I can see, to be totally honest about it. And this is public land. This is not land that they own. And if you're going to use public land for profit, you have to pay for it. And they haven't. And so the bottom line is, and this is something that I think conservatives ought to remember, if you want a ranch without any impediment at all, you have to buy your own ranch. That's the essence. That is the core principle behind private property, which undergirds conservatism. So I have a lot of sympathy for the Bundys. I think they're completely mistreated by the federal government. But I still think it's important to point out that this land does not belong to them. And that's not a minor distinction. It's the essence of private property. Sorry.
And Tucker Carlson is right about everything except the private property thing. He used to be right about private property. That if you want the government to leave you alone, then you've got to buy your own private property ranch. But that's not the truth anymore. Now they could still come on your private property and say, you know what, you've got desert tortoises on your private property, so therefore we're going to tell you what you can do on your private property. Hey, you've got a little swamp area in the back of your private property, therefore we can tell you what to do on your private property. Hey, you've got the snail darter. You've got the, look what they're doing in California with that minnow fish. They're destroying all the aquifers in California and releasing unbelievable amounts of water that they had saved up for the people's use because of this little minnow. So it doesn't matter whether it's private property or federal property, unless you're doing what the federal government wants you to do, and then none of that matters. All of this is why people are reacting the way they are. That's what's really happening. I love your thoughts on it. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation.
Well, it's not over. We can't have an American people that violate the law and just walk away from it. So it's not over.
Right, we can't have the American people violate the law and walk away from it. But, if you're in here illegally, we're going to walk away and let you break the law all you want. Yeah, that's different. Come on. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE. We're talking about the Bundy Ranch and the federal grazing land there in that area of Nevada and the fact that, yes, the Bundy family is wrong in the eyes of the law. They are. And he doesn't have a leg to stand on. However, the federal government is also wrong. For the last 30 years, they've been slowly pushing these ranchers off the grazing land. They've been making the desert tortoise more important than the people. They have their agenda on what they want to do. And they've made it harder and harder for these ranchers to have their cattle in this area. And he's the last man standing. And there's an agenda from the Bureau of Land Management on how they want to do things. And it's not an agenda that helps farmers, and it's not an agenda that helps the average American. It's an agenda of green energy and extreme environmental conservation to the point that the people are forgotten. That's what it is. So, yes, he's wrong, but he also deserves your support to some degree. And it's just a microcosm of the government overreach. I want to get Todd in, KSFO. Todd, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, and for the doctor, go right ahead.
Thanks, Greg. And my question is, in studying this and looking at some of the cases that the Bundy family was involved in, this goes over 20 years, and my understanding it was in the last little over 10 years that they stopped paying the fees. And the reason they stopped paying the fees is because judge, government, and jury, BLM, came in and says, well, we know you're paying your fees, but we need to take a good portion of your land away. And
well, it wasn't his land. That's not exactly how it went. It wasn't his land. It was the federal grazing land. And it was 1993. And he said he stopped paying it because he didn't believe that they were managing it and improving the land, that they were trying to manage him off the land. That's why he said, and like I said, I understand his point, but it's not the legal point. But it does show that that was their agenda. It really was their agenda. It's pretty obvious it was their agenda. And listen, if it's for a $5 billion Chinese solar panel farm, then you can move the desert tortoise. But if it's for this, no, you can't. Let me get Brad in, WOKV, Jacksonville. You're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappin for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir, Greg. I had a quick couple of comments to make, sir. Unfortunately, Greg, every square inch of land within the United States' border and also all of the water and the aquifers underneath and the minerals are under some type of governmental ownership, whether it be state, federal, or local. And if you don't believe me, people, stop paying your taxes on your property and you will see who owns your land.
Well, that's a great point, Brad. It is a great point that you don't really ever own your own property anymore. Once we put in property taxes, you're right. Because if you quit paying those property taxes, eventually people with guns show up at your door and you're out. You're absolutely right. And that is, I believe, a travesty in this country. I mean, if you go back to the founding, our founders thought it was so important to be a landowner in this country that you couldn't vote unless you were a landowner. And now we've turned it into whatever the federal government says you're allowed to do, you're allowed to do, otherwise you can't. That's where we've gotten. and you can understand why people have said that's enough, that we're not going to put up with it anymore. Now, like I said, I don't like some of what's going on there. I don't like some of these so-called militias that came in and some of what I saw on these videos where they were getting in the federal agents' faces and like lunging at them and screaming obscenities at them and all this kind of stuff. No. But I understand why people are saying enough is enough. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE,
855-400. Hey, my name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. We're talking, yeah, about government overreach and the agenda here. And that's a big part of this in the Bundy Ranch in Nevada. And Powerline puts it well, saying, well, wait a second, why is it that it's okay for these green farms for wind and energy to go here and actually get to the point where the Bureau of Land Management put out a mitigation strategy for the desert tortoise where they were going to do these solar farm developments, but not for the ranchers. That they were actually going to move the desert tortoises to these federal grazing lands to make it even harder for the cattle ranchers so that we would have room for the solar farm. Now, that deal fell through. Harry Reid is not going to make money on that for now. But why does the BLM care so much about the desert tortoise when it's a cattle rancher, but couldn't care less when the solar power developers from China come calling? Could it be that the politicians can't make money anymore off the Bundy family? Could it be that the lobbyists provide the money to our politicians for the solar farms and the wind farms, but not for the Bundy-style ranchers? Nah, I'm sure, no, that sure has nothing to do with it. Oh, nothing to do with it at all. And then you got this story coming out today. This is Cheryl Chumley at Newsmax, that the United States Postal Service has posted a notice on its website. Assorted small arms ammunition. The United States Postal Service intends to solicit proposals for assorted small arms ammunition. And, okay, listen, it seems weird that so many federal agencies are buying ammunition, and there are many who shoot and shoot regularly who are saying ammunition keeps going up, and it seems like maybe the federal government's trying to jack up the price of ammunition and trying to create a shortage of ammunition to make it harder for the average American to exercise a Second Amendment right. Maybe, could be. But you know what I think the bigger question is? Why do all these federal agencies have armed police? I mean, really, this is the kind of stuff that makes you just wonder. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to ask, why does the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration need 46,000 rounds of ammo? It's NOAA. Are they shooting Shamu? What are they? I thought that was illegal. What are they doing? Why do you need 46,000 rounds of ammo for NOAA? The Department of Agriculture has its own police force. The Social Security Administration has its own police force. The IRS has its own police force. The U.S. Postal Service has its own police force. At some point, do we have enough federal agents who are armed against us? The Energy Department, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Commerce Department, the U.S. Agency for International Development, they all have an armed division. Well, we're investigating fraud. Oh, that's fine. You can investigate fraud, but when you need guns, why don't you call up the FBI or the U.S. Marshals to back you up? Well, that's just not how it works. Well, maybe that's how it should work. Maybe that's what we need to start doing to start drawing down on this government overreach, and that's why so many people are having this story of the Bundy Ranch and the federal grazing land resonate with them. That's why. Let me get Bill, KCMO, in. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. Bill, go right ahead.
Hey, yes, sir. The question is, nobody's confronting it, is who owns the property in the United States? Do you have a deed? Is it yours? Or are you just renting it? And that's what you've been talking about. But I've got a little bit of property, and I've got wildlife running on here, and the game warden could come on my property anytime he wants to if there's game running on my land, because he has jurisdiction where the game is. And
the lady in Florida, the black bear is playing in her yard, and she said, you know, we've invaded their area, we've taken over their wilderness, now, you know, there's not much can be done. But are those government bears, or whose bears are those? You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I think you raise a great point. I mean, if you own the land, then what comes on your land is up to you, I would think. But no, not according to our federal government. And you're right. And here's the other part of this that gets left out. In Washington, D.C., they don't have to worry about this. It's already totally developed. So you buy your private property, you can do what you want on it. But the people who live out in the countryside, now the people who live in D.C. are trying to tell you what to do with your property. They've already developed theirs, but they don't want you to develop yours. And they think they have the right to tell you what to do with it. And that's what's really ticking people off. And I can understand why people are getting this upset about it. Now, like I said, I don't like everything that I've seen from the so-called militias and everything else. But the government's overstepped. Big time. Let me get Patrick in. He's in Vegas. And he's seen this more up close and personal. Patrick, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in on, like you were saying, about some of the negative things you've seen coming out of the media from what were going on there. And I was standing there right behind the horses, the cowboys at the horses at the gate. From what I saw, there was never a point where we were actually in their faces. I mean, they weren't close enough to the gate for that to actually happen.
Well, wait, you're combining two different stories. Hang on a second. The one I was talking about, Patrick, is the video released by the supporters, where it's the personal cell phone video where the son was tasered. And he was in the federal agent's faces. I saw him. I saw him lunging at him.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I did see that video, too. That was actually the day before, or 2 days before, I believe.
Right,
they were
right.
Trying to ask the convoy why they had the backhoes on the property. They wanted to know if there was something illegal going on.
And I have no problem asking those questions, but when you start lunging at the officers and you start screaming at them and you get into that kind of situation, that's not going to end well, and that's not the way to win. You know, you go back to how Gandhi did it and Martin Luther King did it, and how you do those things, it gets everybody on your side compared to what the Black Panthers wanted to do and what Malcolm X wanted to do before he changed his mind. And that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just talking about the standoff, the actual standoff at the gate,
yeah.
Which I thought the militia members handled very well. They were the ones keeping everyone calm. If someone would yell an obscenity, they were quick to be like, watch your language. Let the BLM look like the bad guys on all this media. And, you know, I thought it ended peacefully. Yes, there's going to be yelling when BLM agents are pointing automatic rifles and tear gas launchers at us from behind riot shields. But I will say I was armed, and about 90% of the people on horseback and foot were probably armed, too. But that was merely one for a counter-intimidation against the BLM, letting them know that you can't just come in here with these weapons you bought, you know, previously owned from the military or wherever you're getting them, just because you have all this money. You can't come in here with those and force us around, you know?
Yeah, and I understand that, Patrick. Thanks for the call. And I appreciate the fact that some were trying to keep it calm. And that's what you've got to do. And I like the fact that finally there is a place where people are saying enough. I wish we would say enough over what the IRS has been doing in targeting conservative groups. I wish we would say enough about the lies we've been told about Benghazi. I wish we would say enough about the lies we've been told about Fast and Furious. I wish we would say enough about President Obama's Obamacare law that he keeps changing every time he feels like it by going around the Congress. I wish we would say enough about President Obama using his pen, creating an executive order to create his own Dream Act for illegal aliens, even though Congress wouldn't pass it. I wish we'd get more upset about more of these things and start saying enough is enough. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And I want to throw this one at you, too. How about this? This is another thing that just, you know, it reminds me of Animal Farm. Remember? All animals are created equal, but some are more equal than others. Remember that from Animal Farm? If your kids haven't read Animal Farm, haven't watched the cartoon of Animal Farm, you need to get it to them, man, because you're seeing it all the time. Listen to this. You saw that somebody threw a shoe at Hillary Clinton during her speech at a Las Vegas strip resort. Hillary was stripping? No, a strip resort, not a stripper place. Come on. Allison Michelle Ernst, 36, is the one who was arrested for this. Now, here's the thing. Las Vegas booked her for a misdemeanor disorderly conduct. She had a running shoe in her purse that she threw at Hillary from 60 feet away and didn't hit her. Okay? And it is a dumb thing to do. Misdemeanor disorderly conduct charge sounds about right. But now the federal government is getting involved. She could face up to a year in federal prison on each federal charge against her. Well, why is there a federal charge? Hillary Clinton's not a federal official anymore. Well, see, she has Secret Service protection because she's a former spouse of a president, and so she's covered for her lifetime by these people. And therefore, since you tried to go after a former spouse of a president, it's a federal offense. Two criminal charges, each one carrying up to a year in prison. Now, hold on a second. To me, anything other than probation for this tells you that we're all equal in America, but some are more equal than others. Hillary wasn't hurt. She was in no danger of truly being harmed. The worst that would have happened is she would have been hit in the head with a shoe. And we're talking about a year. I don't care if, look, the Iraqis that threw the shoes at President Bush. No, you don't get, you shouldn't get treated differently because you threw a shoe at Hillary Clinton than if you threw a shoe at me. But we've created royalty here. We've created a whole nother level of American citizen, the ruling class, which is exactly what we fought a war against. How do we keep doing it? And how is it that we're allowing it to happen? I can understand what people are saying. That's enough. Let me get Jay in, KSFO. Jay, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. So, one thing I wanted to bring up with you is common law and grazing rights versus grazing privilege. Now, when you homestead an area of public land and you develop that land so that it can be used by you and your surrounding communities to, for production purposes, like putting in wells and putting in piping and, windmills to draw the water up, and all these things that everyone around benefits from, you have the inherent right to use that property. And now a right...
Jay, I can't waste our time on this. This has been debated for over 20 years, and he's lost, and he's lost, and he's lost, and no lawyer will even take this case because they know he doesn't have a legal leg to stand on. He had been paying the rights... The money to graze on that land, and he stopped because he was tired of the way the Bureau of Land Management was managing him off the land. And I agree with them that they were trying to manage him off the land, and I agree with them on all the things we've already stipulated on the show, but he doesn't have a legal leg to stand on. I mean, that's just the bottom line, so thanks for the call, but I can't waste our valuable time on that. But this is why I'm conflicted on it. He's wrong with the law, but he's right on the principle that our federal government has too much land, is managing it the way they want to for their so-called green agenda, that the tortoises are really important if you're going to try and put cows on the land, but they're not important at all if you're going to put a solar panel farm on the land, especially if you had lobbyists who went to Congress and gave a lot of money to the people who are in charge of running that. Does that sound like of the people, by the people, for the people to you? That's why people are so ticked off. All right, thinking about death can actually make you value your life more, and Joe Biden talks about one of the great perks of being vice president. We're going to get that to you in just a minute. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE or michaelsavage.com. Joe Biden. Oh, Joe. You know, you just love to follow Joe around and see what he's going to say next. Well, he was talking to a gathering about the World Cup and about how great it is to be vice president and all the perks to go with it. Let's hear cut 10 from Joe Biden, shall we?
I literally, at Christmas time, Mr. Ambassador, I always sit with the kids the last 5 years and say, well, where do you want to go this year? Because one of the great advantages of being vice president, I'm able to take, if I'm not going into war zone, one of my grandchildren with me. And I do take them along. They're good kids. They don't get in the way. And it's a great experience.
Yeah. That's, and she wanted to go, one of her grandkids wants to go to the World Cup. See, now that's why you're the vice president. You get to take your grandkids with you. Free. I mean, it's, well, not free, we pay for it, but free, pretty much. You know, it's just like where you can take your daughters to Africa and Spain and Hawaii, and yeah, it's just part of the deal. Sometimes I think that's why some of these people run. For all the perks. You know? You get to fly around in Air Force One and Marine One and Camp David and go treat it like a king. It's gotten ridiculous, hasn't it? I think it has. All right, now this is really interesting to me. What do you think of when you start to think about the end of your life? Does it worry you? Do you worry about going into a void? Are you secure in your faith that you're going to an afterlife, that you're going to heaven, depending on what your belief system is? Does it make you scared, or does it give you some form of comfort, or does it do a little bit of both? Well, for me, when I think about my short time on Earth, it always motivates me to do more. I like creating an existential crisis in myself, and this latest study kind of says that it helps most people. Sheldon Solomon, psychology professor at Skidmore College in New York, said an awareness of our own death is potentially extremely distressing because it renders you aware that you are ultimately no more significant than food sources and animals, lizards and potatoes. Now, that's one way to look at it. And he said it's impossible to truly know what it's like to die. So we have this desire to live. We ultimately know we'll die. We don't know what it's like to experience, and it can cause a high level of distress. But another side to this, what they did was they had these students in college get emails every day where they were asked to write about contemplating their mortality on a deeper level, asking them things like, imagine that you only had 6 months to live, or those kind of things. And they found that over the days and days of writing this, those college students became less depressed and happier and more active in how they were living their lives and trying to actually achieve things. I think that's pretty cool. Hey, thanks for letting me be with you. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.